22 through 24. And as I said earlier, today is going to be a two-part series on in the home, in the relationship series. We're going to be dealing and talking about the role of the wife in the home. And for those of you ladies that are married, I pray that the Holy Spirit does an extraordinary work today, and that it wouldn't stop just today, that it would continue. And for the men that's in here, that they would hear and receive that word and be in fear of a God that is all-consuming and that demands holiness. So it's not just women that's going to receive or need this. We all need it today. So that's what I ask for. Okay. Ephesians 5, most of us are aware and familiar. Most of us probably did studies and gone to marriage seminars and read books and read articles and read all kinds of stuff. And I hope that it was beneficial. And I pray that it was beneficial. Where I'm coming from today is, it's simple. It's not some mystery or something that you've never heard. But I pray that the Holy Spirit empowers it, and that you would actually hear it for the first time. His word, that you would actually hear it. Wives, you would hear it for the first time. And if you've heard it before, then it would be sweet to you again and again. So, here we go. Wives, submit to your own husband. As to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husband. What I've just read just now is, we can't grasp that. Ladies, men, we can't grasp that unless we believe that it's God's word. It starts with that. Do we really believe that the words in this book that we've memorized, prayed over, meditated, do we really believe that this is God's word? You have a hard time with that. What I just read will make no sense. None. To understand Ephesians 5 and this particular part, we have to know why this is there. Why did God give us this? What happened? Something happened that he has to say and command us. Why submit to your own husband? Why? But we don't know that until we go back to the beginning in the book of Genesis, in chapters 2 and 3. So, if you can, turn with me there for a moment. And let's see what happened. Most of us are very aware of this. I'm going to start from chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, surely you shall surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "You may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was good to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." Even in chapter 2, before sin ever got introduced into the world, we were desperate creature for the living God. And this is why. God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This was before sin happened. God commanded the man. Before woman was made out of the man, a command was given. What did Eve say? The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it.'" Did God say that? "Neither shall you touch it?" No. We were screwed up even before we fell. Desperate need for a living God that created us. Desperate. Before there was ever even sin, we miscommunicated. There was no communication. Adam screwed up communication to his wife. That's why she can say, "Neither shall you touch it." God didn't say that. He said, "Don't eat of it." And there was two trees in the midst of the garden. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The old reformers and the men and women before us had it right when they said that the garden was an example before the fall of our desperate state for our God. And we can't be left alone even when there is no sin. We need God. We need God. As you all know, they ate. Adam was with Eve the whole time. Right there. With his wife. Said that. Did nothing. We're going to deal with Adam next week. But this week, we're going to deal with Eve. Here's the curse. To the woman, he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. This curse is an everlasting curse. You can't escape it. Every woman knows when you bear children, it's in pain. Excruciating pain. Some that may never want to do it again. Curse stands. Your desire shall be for your husband. Now, word for can also be translated and read as against. Your desire shall be against your husband, and he shall rule over you. What's happened now is there a constant struggle for preeminence, for authority. That happens to this day in marriages, in our wives. Women want authority and men struggle against it. That he will rule over you. Never supposed to do that. Now let's go back to Ephesians. Says, wives, submit to your own husbands. As to the Lord. As to who? Who? That word submit is a military word that Paul used. It means to obey. Obey. Why are you obeying? Why should you obey? It says, because as to the Lord. See, if you miss that, you're going to have a hard time with it. You're going to have a hard time with it. You won't submit. You won't obey. If you miss that you're doing it all to the Lord, as to the Lord, you're going to struggle. Let's see what the other writer has to say. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, 1 Peter 3, so that even if some do not obey the word, some of you ladies may say, wives, you don't understand my husband. He's horrible. I can't submit to that. I can't submit to him. He's hurt me. He's disappointed me. He's not there for me. I can't count on him. I can't rely on him. Says, be subject to your own husband, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. That's how you're going to win. It's not about, no, he's not doing this, and he's not doing that. He's not being obedient to God and what he's supposed to be doing. You're commanded to submit to him regardless. Now, please, don't misunderstand. It doesn't mean that if you are, or any woman, are in an abusive relationship, adultery is committed, and you... No, you have one. You have one. God hasn't forgotten about that. There are. You don't stay in an abusive relationship. You don't stay in a marriage where adultery is committed or heinous crimes against your family and the security of your family. But I would first desperately, and the Bible commends this, we seek separation or restoration. First, if that's the case. It says, do not let your adornment be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adornment be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. God's not against jewelry and makeup, or against you looking very attractive to men. Singles, we should not try to allure or tempt men like that. But husbands, it's right, wives, that you do that for your husband. It's a good thing. But let not that be where you stay continually. That's all that's consistent of your beauty. That is not beauty to the Lord. What's beauty to the Lord? Let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is wrong. Also, I'm aware that submitting to your husbands, for some of you, that's a very frightening thing. It's a fear of he'll take advantage, he'll abuse it. You have to find it, as I shared with the first servant. The first thing that you've got to do, you have to find yourself in Christ. In Christ. If you miss that, or if you're not about that, you will have a lifetime of disappointment. A lifetime of disappointment with your husband. He's not your security. He's not your Savior. Verse 23 in Ephesians. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Marriage is not for us. It wasn't intended for us. The pure intent for marriage was to display God's covenant with his bride. And we get the privilege and honor to be a part of this thing called marriage. That we can experience the relationship that God has, that the Son has with his bride. We get to experience that. We get to live that out. It's not for us. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be any marriages. You're not going to need it. This pointer, this thing called marriage, is finally, it's going to get to its destination. And that is Christ. You're going to see what this means in its fullness, in its grandeur, in its glorious state. Both men and women will experience that. I know many wives, many women can say, I just can't submit. I can't submit to my husband. You don't understand. You're right. I don't understand hurts and pains and disappointments that you've dealt with. Christ is what you need. You see, if you get married, ladies, if you get married, and you were a Christian before you got married, and all of a sudden you come into marriage with an expectation that's not realistic, you're going to be disappointed. He is going to let you down. He is going to fail. He is going to make you cry. He is going to hurt you. There may be scars for years How you approach marriage is how the Bible commands us. Who is your first love? Who is your first love? If it's not Christ, ladies, your husband, they're not your Savior. They're not your Savior. They're never meant to be your Savior. Christ alone is your Savior. You hold on to that. It's not by accident that those of you that are married, that you're married to the person that you're, to the spouse that you have. And those of you, ladies, that will eventually be married, by no accident. God knows it. God knows it. He knows why He has you with that person. And guess what? It's not that you can save that person. It's so that He can sanctify you. You need sanctification. You need to be sanctified. There are sins in your life that you don't even know about that will come out in marriage. It's a covenant. God loves you too much to leave you in your sin. And He will use your husband to bring those sins out. Submission is not about if I do this or if he does this, then I can submit. No, that's not submission. That's not submission. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Submission to your husband has to do with submission to Christ. Period. Period. If you don't get that, you're in for a lot of hurt. A lot of hurt. Submission to your husband is submission to Christ. Just like you, God saved you. And He commands you to love Him. He commands you to love your neighbor. You. Just like how He dealt with the situation in the garden. He addressed each person. Each person. We are responsible for the command that God gives us. As individual, we cannot say, and it happened in the garden. What happened when Eve was addressed? The serpent made the word. Yeah, it's true. He was deceived. What happened to Adam when he was addressed? That woman that you gave me. That woman that you gave me caused me to sin. No, Adam sinned. He sinned even more worse than Eve did. We're going to deal with that next week. But take the responsibility, ladies. Take the responsibilities of your own sin. Your husband does not cause you to sin. He doesn't push you to sin. You sin all on your own against a holy God. You sin all on your own against a holy God. And you have to give account, just like Eve, to a holy God that will demand account. You can't escape that. You're not going to have your husband with you before. He's not going to be there. It's you. It's you. Deal with your own sin. And trust God. Trust God. Trust Him. We sang earlier about God being our healer. Do you believe that? Do you know that? Do you know that He's your healer? Do you know that He's your everything? Do you know that you are desperate, desperate, desperate for Him all the time? all the time. There's not a day or a moment that you can't be that way. And if you are, then what you have is a reliance on self. Or a reliance on your husband, what he can do so I can be a better wife. It's not about that. It's not about that. Ladies, wives, if you know that you're saved and you belong to him, you also ought to know that you are loved by him. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And because he loves you, you can trust him. You can trust him. He's good. He's good. What he has for you is better than what you can ever imagine. Here, with your husband, in your marriage, in this life, it's way better, far better, and what you can ever imagine. See, you can't submit to your husband or obey him if you can't submit to Christ. It won't happen. It won't happen. You have to see that you are in desperate need of a Savior. Not just that first time that you said the Lord's Prayer or something. No, every day. Every day. You're in desperate need of a Savior. There's nothing lovable about you that God saved you. Nothing. Nothing. He saved you because he set his love upon you and he saved you. Not because of anything that you did. See, ladies, his love for you, you can't do anything to him. You can't do anything to him. His love for you makes you secure in who you are. You don't know who you are unless you know who you are. Hear that Christ is your Savior. He is your husband. Then you can be the wife that he's called you. You can't do it apart from him, and you can't wait for your husband to make you that wife. You are responsible to your God, to your Savior, and you obey and trust him. Him. Love him and understand. Most importantly, understand that you are loved. Understand that God loves you more than anybody else in this whole world. And he demonstrated that love for you when he died on the cross. Know that. Know that. If you miss that, you're going to be in a world of hurt. And you're going to be in your marriage or going into a marriage with false expectations. And you're setting yourself up for hurt and disappointment. Let me show you how much he loves you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Maybe some of you have been hurt by your dads, your own dad, your own family, their dads. It goes back down, it could be generations. Generational curses are very real. Don't dismiss them. They're very real. But what I want and I long for the Holy Spirit to do is to point you back to Christ's promise. His promises for you is yes and amen. It's good. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. Is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It's hostile. He hates it. He abhors it. He wants it dead, and He will kill it. He will kill it. Because He loves you. He loves you. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't please God if you're in the flesh. You can't please God if you're listening to secular advice or to human moralistic advice. You can't please Him. You can't please God if you're waiting on your husband to change. You are not His Holy Spirit. He has one, and He does an excellent job. You can't sanctify Him. Only God is. For those wives that have issues and problems with their husbands, I hope you're praying for them. I hope you're praying for them. Because if you're not, there's a good chance you're sinning. There's a good chance you're sinning. Pray for them. They need God just as much as you need Him. They need Him. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If you know Christ, and you're saved, and you belong to Him, you're not in the flesh. You don't operate in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, oh, how good. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Ladies, if you know Christ, then His Spirit dwells in you. That's why you can love your husband. And that's why you can submit to him. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Know that. Ladies, know that if you are His, that His Spirit abides and dwells in you forever. That's what Christ died for. Because He knew that you can't do it on your own. Men, He knows that you screw up all the time. You can't do it without Him or on your own. That's why He has to put the Spirit in us to do the things that we cannot do. So in the end, we don't boast in our works. We say it was God. All glory and all honor goes back to Him. To Him, not to us. Not to us. I'm going to read a book that I've been reading by Henry Scrooge. old dumb guy. But God's blessed him with a revelation that just astounds me of his love. He said, "What an infinite pleasure must it needs be, thus, as it were, to lose ourselves in him, and being swallowed up in the overcoming sense of his goodness, to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, always ascending unto him in flames of love. Never doth a soul know what solid joy and substantial pleasure is, till once, being weary of itself, it renounce all propriety, giving itself up unto the author of its being, and feel itself become a hallowed and devoted thing, and can say, from an inward sense and feeling, my beloved is mine, and I am his. I am content to be anything for him, and care not for myself, but that I may serve him. A person molded into this temper would find pleasure in all the dispensations of providence. Temporal enjoyments would have another relish when he should taste the divine goodness in them and consider them as tokens of love sent by his dearest Lord and Maker. And chastisements, though they be not joyous but grievous, would hereby lose their sting. The rod as well as the staff would comfort him. He would snatch a kiss from the hand that was smiting him, and gather sweetness from that severity. Nay, he would rejoice that though God did not the will of such a worthless and foolish creature as himself, yet he did his own will and accomplished his own desires, which are infinitely more holy and wise." Ladies, wives, it's by no accident that you're married to the man that you're married to. And what God has for you is beyond what you can comprehend. What he has for you is more of it. That's what you need. What he has for you is love unending. Love that you cannot comprehend. Love that sustains you. Love that upholds you. Love that will wipe away the most heinous crime against you. The most heinous sins against you. Where sin abides, grace will abide. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? Do you know that? Do you know that? Not believe. Do you know that? Do you know that, ladies? Do you know that, wives? Do you know that, men? Do you know that, husbands? Who can be against you? Your spouse? Authorities? The devils? Principalities? The government? Your parents? Your past? Who can be against you? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? All things. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Who? Who? It is God who justifies. God justifies. not because of your merit, but because of his son, ladies, his son, wives, he justifies you, and you are kept in him. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, indeed is interceding for us. He knows your pain. He knows your hurt. He knows your disappointments. He knows where you can be stretched and stressed no more. He knows it. He knows it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall do this? What shall do this? Shall tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or danger? Or sword? No. As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Ladies, wives, you're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Through him who loved us. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you enough to not keep you the same way. He loves you enough to give you a husband that will sanctify you for your good pleasure. He loves you. For I am sure this is when you know when you're in him. I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing, Blaine. Nothing can separate you. Count it all a pleasure when you go through affliction, when you go through pain, when you go through tribulation, when you go through hurt and disappointment after disappointment. Christ Jesus died so that you may live. He died so that you may know him and know infinite pleasure, infinite love that a man cannot give you. He cannot give you that. You are his and his alone. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husband. Wives, you honor Christ when you submit to your husband. Although he may be a jerk, or he may hurt you, or you're fed up with him, honor Christ. Honor Christ. He will deal with him. He will deal with him. Just like he dealt with him in the garden. He will deal with him. Your command is to obey. It's to submit to the one that God has joined. Submit as unto the Lord. And know that you love. And no matter what he does, you must love. Lord God, your word is everlasting. This earth and all that's in it will pass away, but your word will stay forever. In your word, we know you. In your word, we know who we are. In your word, we are kept. Jesus, little word.